This is Artist Stories, featuring the stories of artists and arts organizations in our region. I'm your host, Ava Romero. Today, I'm with Janae Sanchez, artist, mother, and arts administrator. Welcome, Janae.
Hi, Ava. I'm so happy to be here with you.
Janae, could you talk about your current exhibition at MoCA Tucson, Mujeres Nurturing Fronteriza Bodies? I understand that it's part of two collectives, including you, Gabriela Muñoz, Ami Robles, and Douglas Prieta Trabaja, which is based in Agua Prieta, Sonora, Mexico. Could you talk to us a little bit about yourself and these other artists who you're collaborating with for this exhibition?
Yes, absolutely. And thank you for this opportunity to be with you here today. So the exhibition at MoCA Tucson, which is titled Mujeres Nourishing Fronterizas Bodies, Resistance in the Time of COVID-19, is actually a multi-year project that we began, I would say, 5 years ago. I've been working closely with Gabriela Muñoz, and we started collaborating in 2009 on various projects that relate to our lived experience as mujeres working in between and in this liminal space of borders, you know, whether they're geographic borders or, you know, social, political. We met each other in college, and our first collaboration was a site-specific installation on the Douglas Agua Prieta border, where we wove handmade yucca paper with an image of La Virgen de Guadalupe, and we rendered our faces onto the piece, and we performed, if you will, the installation with our friends and family members and community. So that was sort of the beginning of our collaboration. And now we've extended our collaboration with other mujeres from the region. You mentioned Douglas Prieta Trabajan Collective, which is a grassroots organization based in Agua Prieta in La Colonia Ladriera. And this is an incredible neighborhood where families make and fire and distribute bricks for building. And the mujeres developed this organization where they welcome community to learn all about permaculture, brick making, and just ethical ways of being a good neighbor, which includes sharing harvests and learning how to sew together. And then you mentioned Ami Robles, who is also born and raised in Agua Prieta. She is a multidisciplinary artist, and her work also relates to her contemporary life on the border. She actually lives directly in front of the border, so she can just, you know, look outside and see the border fence on a daily basis. So it's just her perspective is definitely interesting, as, you know, just facing the visual impact of the border. So learning about this organization was just an incredible moment in my life, which took place in 2015, where I was asked to paint a mural on a building that they actually built themselves. They made adobe bricks over a period of 2 to 3 years and built a space to convene in. So when I was asked to paint a mural, little did I know that I would continue this relationship with the women. And I began photographing the women, documenting the garden and all of their interactions with community and with each other, and invited Gabriela to collaborate with me. And she also began, you know, representing the women through her medium, which is printmaking. And in 2018, we built a site-specific installation. We were invited by SMOCA to present a collaborative piece. And after that, we really began thinking about, okay, so over the past few years, we've been representing or rendering images of these women who are doing such incredible work for the community and for themselves and building each other up in different ways and, you know, for themselves and their families. We were able to apply for the Confluence Center Fronteridades Fellowship. And we were so excited to be granted this fellowship in collaboration with John Michael Warner, who is currently a professor at Kent State University. And we invited Las Mujeres and really began expanding our idea of collaboration. And so through this fellowship and also through the NALA Catalyst for Change Fellowship, we began working in the way that the women actually work in their community, which centers horizontal leadership and the sharing of knowledge and the transfer of knowledge within the colectiva. So we asked las mujeres, how do you want to collaborate? And they shared that they were interested in learning about video and photography and image making in general. So that's what we did. Ami, Gabriela, and I organized a series of 2D and digital art workshops. And the women have begun documenting their own stories, their own making photographs of themselves and each other. And that's really what this exhibition at Mocha Tucson is about. It's about the women's representation of themselves, of the work they are doing. That is literally nourishing a whole community of people.
Oh my God, I love it. I can't wait to see it. Janae, you had mentioned to me that Dougla Prieta Trabajan started when their neighborhood was basically cluttered with waste that came from donations. It was philanthropic waste, actually. Could you talk a little bit about that?
Yes, absolutely. So, you know, I've been privy to many conversations or presentations that the women have made to visitors and, you know, just in other settings. And one takeaway that I remember is the moment when Rosalinda Sagaste, who is the director of Dougla Prieta Trabajan, talked about that moment or the seed, the idea for the organization. And it was when the community began seeing just clothing and plastic objects thrown in the streets. And the mujeres came together along with collaborators in Douglas to think about how can an organization be developed that builds the solidarity, you know, this idea of self-determination from within. And so that's today really the centerpiece of their organization is their permaculture program, which is really designed to teach the collective members, but also families in the neighborhood all about sustainable food production, you know, which is like the gardening, the aquaculture, and also raising livestock on their properties. This idea of ethical mutual aid, really localized, is something that the collective drives into their output of services for their community, you know, and I think it's even just more important and incredible in this moment of a pandemic because their work never stopped. They've continued doing this work and it just is a testament, right, to that strength, that power that the women have built in this community.
I think it's such an interesting example of how often people want to help, you know, people with more means want to help, but they don't maybe necessarily know exactly how to help, and their help ends up doing damage instead, right? I think it's just really important to listen when you want to help somebody or a collective or a group or a cause, to really listen to what people are telling you is that which they need, right, and not just to give them whatever you want to give them. I mean, it's important to prioritize what they need versus what you want to give, because they might not be the same things.
Exactly.
And a neighborhood full of apparel waste is kind of a shocking visual and a really good example of how that charitable giving can go wrong if it doesn't have an infrastructure behind it.
Right. Yeah. And just asking, you know, communities what do they want? And that's what it took Gabriela and I many years to figure that out. You know, working with the mujeres, we were, you know, representing them. But when we were able to come across these resources, we thought instead of thinking of a project. We knew we wanted to work with the mujeres. We thought, well, let's ask them. And what they wanted to do with the funding was learn skills. That's just also that the foundation of their organization is that sharing of knowledge. They want to learn so that they can teach each other, teach their children, right? Teach their neighbors and so on.
So you and Gabriela were able to help teach them a bit about documentary, self-documentation. And what did you learn as well?
That's a great question. So we've learned many things besides, you know, we've learned some skills like how to make chicken soup for one thing. We documented the process where Ihinia, who's a member of La Colectiva, taught us from start to finish how to make chicken soup, starting with catching the chicken, right, in the pen and butchering the chicken in an ethical manner, a way that she has learned from her mother, and then all the way to harvesting vegetables in the garden and then cooking the chicken soup. So that was one thing Gabriela and I had the privilege of learning. We've also developed a deeper sense of what it means to lead in a horizontal model. And, you know, something that does require more communication and more time. But I think that it's really at the foundation of their organization and our relationship to the women, having an open conversation and an open relationship when, you know, we're discussing matters of, you know, whether it's projects or art processes. We share budgets with our collaborators. So that is one thing that we've learned from them, and we plan to continue in our work going forward.
Sometimes people in collaborations want to shield each other and are like, okay, I don't want them to see the budget because they don't have to worry about that. Or, you know, I don't want them to feel pressured because of the numbers or something like right. that. I think a lot of times there's a lack of transparency out of mm-hmm. good intentions, but it doesn't necessarily serve good purposes.
Yeah, we really, you know, that's like a skill you have to learn, right? Transparency. And so we saw it being practiced in the colectiva. And then we were really lucky in you know, these past few years to be able to apply that transparency to our art practice, essentially. And I think it's been just really the most fruitful way of working.
That is wonderful. So great to hear about this project. And also what a wonderful opportunity for us to learn about it right here at MoCA Tucson. Janae, could you talk to us a bit more about yourself personally, your artistic roots, the kind of artist that you are, that you have become, your trajectory to becoming that kind of artist, and your life at the border?
Gosh, you know, I think I love that idea of an artistic root. I truly think that my experience and my trajectory as a student of life because of experiences has developed my sense of as an artist and my practice. My experiences living on both sides of a geopolitical border, growing up in two countries, sometimes living in Mexico, sometimes living in the U.S., but really essentially growing up in both countries at the same time informs the way I practice and try to articulate ideas through images. You know, growing older has allowed me to take my memories and, in a sense, contextualize them based on circumstances and my knowledge of history, politics, even like social hierarchies. And I think that's really the root of where I'm trying to communicate from and show a side of the borderlands that might be erased, that might be intentionally changed or altered for other people's purposes and agendas. I just hope that my perspective as a fronteriza can recontextualize or bring light to a new way or or I can add to a conversation, because there are so many artists doing this work of reimagining the way borders are presented, represented. I just hope that I can just add my voice, add an image even of my community or the women in my community or people in general in my community, because it's really a point that I think has been left out. And I enjoy the process of imagining how we can represent ourselves.
And you've done a lot of really interesting cultural work to kind of feed the communities that you're a part of, including back in Douglas. Could you talk to us a little bit about that?
Yeah, sure. So we were based in Tempe, you know, during my education, and we decided to move back to Douglas, and we decided to open a coffee shop, and it was called Galeano's Cafe. It was in the downtown area, and it really became a hub for art and conversation. And we would invite artists to hang their work on the walls. And so that business really became the inspiration for an organization that we founded in 2015, which is called Border Arts Corridor. We developed an art walk, and it was called Art Walk on G. And the first time we did it, we just invited artists. We spread the word on social media and with flyers, and artists came out and made their own installations and art displays. And we found a community, right, of creatives that really was ready and already doing work at their homes. It just needed to be shown. And so we thought, well, we have our small business. We can make this platform, right, as best as we can. We didn't know what we were doing. And now we have a 501c3, and we've been working as an organization to not only develop events like art walks, but we've presented binational productions in collaboration with other entities like Arizona Commission on the Arts, Rising Youth Theater, Sophos Dance Theater, and Performance in the Borderlands. So we've been able to expand our collaboration with organizations, communities outside of Douglas and Agua Prieta, and really just have lots of fun and, you know, exploring what it means to be an organization or an arts entity on the border. This coming November 13th, we will be bringing back the Binational Art Walk, which is an event, sort of our keystone event that we had to cancel these past few years because of the pandemic. So we're excited to bring back the inspiration, the event that inspired our organization to even exist. And so everybody's welcome to come out. This is a family-friendly binational event that takes place on November 13th. We'll have a virtual opening on November 12th at 6 p.m. So anybody who is interested in participating can visit our website at bacaz.org. Artists, vendors are welcome to come down and present their work. There is no fee to participate. All sales go directly to artists and vendors. And so, yeah, it's a great moment for our binational community to not only come out and check out artistic production in our region. We work closely with Agua Prieta to coordinate our, you know, the time of the event. So the idea is for participants and visitors to experience the art walk in Douglas and then walk over or drive over to Agua Prieta. And the art walk will be in different spaces and small businesses on the street. So it's really just a whole day's worth of things to do on both sides.
That's great. So we should bring our passports, right?
Bring your passports. I do recommend you do that. Absolutely. And walking shoes.
Oh, that sounds so much fun. Can it all be done on foot, or does it necessarily involve a little bit of driving?
A little bit of driving might be might be a good thing, but absolutely. I mean, the art walk in on the Douglas side takes place on G Avenue, which is really just about a mile from the border crossing. And then as soon as you cross into Mexico, the art walk will be, you know, in Agua Prieta. The outdoor portion of the art walk is just really a block away from the crossing, which is really accessible for pedestrians.
Chinay, one of your other affiliations besides the Border Arts Corridor is as communications manager with the Arts Foundation for Tucson and Southern Arizona. And actually, I'll break the news here, you will be taking over hosting and production of this podcast. Could you talk to us about your role with the Arts Foundation?
Sure, absolutely. I began this position in April of 2021, and I am, as you mentioned, the manager for communications, which means that I work closely with my colleagues in public art, in grants and services, and of course, our executive director, Adriana Gallego, to communicate the amazing work that we are doing with community, in collaboration with community, and, you know, especially all of the opportunities that the Arts Foundation is able to present to creatives and organizations in our region, in Tucson and Southern Arizona. So I have that privilege of not only using language, but also photography and graphic design to do that work. And yes, as you mentioned, Eva, I am really excited about the opportunity of hosting and producing Artist Stories, which is an incredible podcast for our region to communicate and represent, you know, the work, talk about the work that they are doing, and which is creating a beautiful archive. And I appreciate your willingness to pass the baton to me and your trust. You set a beautiful foundation for me to run on. So thank you, Eva.
Well, I'm so excited that you've decided to pick up this torch and carry it. And I'm really excited to listen into all of the upcoming episodes that you're going to host. Thank you so much. Do you have any specific story that you would like to share with us before we close today?
Sure. I would love to tell the story about how my husband became the mayor of Douglas, Arizona. I'll begin the story in 2015 when my husband, his name is Robert Uribe, we began thinking seriously about creating an art walk. And as I mentioned, we posted calls on social media and were able to capture the attention of the Arizona Commission on the Arts, and also artists like a community to present a land art installation. The artists worked in Douglas for a whole year before presenting their installation in 2015. And Raven Chacon, Cristobal Martinez, and Kate Twist of Post Commodity firm. The artists were looking for organizers, you know, from the city of Agua Prieta and other NGOs in the community, even religious organizations like the Frontera de Cristo. So for the first time, we were connecting to our counterparts in Mexico in a way that I was so grateful for, because it has really defined what Border Arts Corridor is today. And so we worked with Post Commodity to make a whole weekend worth of events that included the community installation of the repellent fence. It was 26 tethered balloons that were spaced just 10 feet apart. And there was a whole mile of the balloons installed in Douglas and a whole mile of balloons installed in Agua Prieta. The balloons had an image of this iconography that was used to repel birds, essentially. But the iconography deeply connected to, you know, indigenous iconography and also our medicine colors that are important to indigenous communities across the Western Hemisphere. So the purpose of the monument of these balloons installed on both sides of the border was to, you know, stitch together our communities. You know, we sort of gathered around and organized around this event, and this event included a binational art walk, lots of talks and classroom visits, and it was an incredible weekend. It was an incredible moment for artists in Douglas and in Agua Prieta, because hundreds of people came down from all over the country to experience the Repellent Fence Project and also all of the events that we had planned in collaboration with even the Arizona Commission on the Arts. That weekend, they launched the AZ Art Worker Program. So there was a panel discussion that was organized by Cassandra Hernandez. On the panel, I got to serve on the panel along with Gabriela Munoz, my collaborator, also Julio Morales and Ana Teresa Fernandez. So it was just like an all-star weekend of art and just coming together. Our business profited immensely from this weekend, and we were able to do some research, and we found that on G Avenue, a majority of businesses increased their profit by 400%. So it was just an incredible moment, right, for the community, but for businesses as well, for our economy in Douglas. Hotel rooms were booked. So, okay, after that weekend, you can imagine we were exhausted but euphoric at the same time. And my husband and I, you know, began thinking about, well, what's next besides continuing, you know, this expansion of our organization, because we did so much more than an art walk, right? We were producing, we were organizing binationally, and many people had been providing Robert and I, you know, just suggestions about taking on more leadership roles in the community. And I like to say that because of this weekend, because of that weekend, Robert and I were inspired to think about political offices for the first time ever. And my husband ended up running for mayor and won that year in 2016. And I like to say he ran on an art platform, an art organizing platform, and won. I guess the rest is history.
Oh, Janae, that is such a great story. I love it. And it is such a testament to, you know, what we've been repeating at the Arts Foundation for years, right? That when you have a thriving art scene, it is so incredibly important for the economy. Mm-hmm. Because if people come, exactly what you described, if people come to participate in an art event, they're also going to eat. And they also might spend the night, and they also might want to wrap it into some other events. And it just has, you know, this reverberating effect. You know, maybe they bring their kids, maybe they pay for a babysitter. It all really feeds into the economy in these ways that sometimes are difficult to track or measure, but are definitely impactful to local economies. And we should never lose sight of that, because it would just mean a huge loss. So amazing story. And it's actually not the first time that I've interviewed somebody on this podcast who ran on an arts platform and won on an arts platform. So I love hearing about it. Thank you for sharing that with us.
Of course. Thank you for asking, you know, about a story.
Well, thank you so much, Janae, for joining us today. This has been Artist Stories with Eva Romero, featuring the stories of artists and arts organizations in our region. To listen to the full-length podcast, visit kxei.org. To listen to more podcasts, visit kxei.org. Artist Stories is a project of the Arts Foundation for Tucson and Southern Arizona, which is partially funded by the City of Tucson and Pima County. Support for Artist Stories is provided by Benjamin Supply, presenting a full spectrum of hardware and plumbing fixtures for kitchen and bath, and their gallery, Tucson, offering national and local art in both the Tucson Warehouse and Transfer Buildings on 6th Street and 7th Avenue. With products available at will call, they are currently open by phone at 777-7000 and at benjaminsupply.com or gallerytucson.com.